Hi, everybody. This is Bobby Elias. Let's create a better world and healthy aging, body, mind, spirit. We do a lot of things on this show. I'm very excited today. I've got not only Dr. Wren from New Jersey, a holistic doctor, America's holistic sweetheart, but I also have on Wendy Trainer, our guest. She'll be doing most of the talking. Wendy Trainer is a PhD, and she is into love and happiness. Happiness coach, and I'll let her talk about a little more about her work and herself. She's brilliant. She's been on the show twice before talking about all the good things. Today we're going to talk about issues with her, about the things that people go through, the problems they go through, anger, fear, and more. But first we're going to, with her, we're going to also talk about all the things that are, so some of the issues that we'll bring up. I'll get on the line in a minute. I'm having trouble because I'm in the hospital. I just had prostate problems, and I'm cleared up. I just had a green light laser, which I'll talk about later. I'm going to leave Dr. Wren's show in about, I'm leaving in about 3 or 4 minutes. Just want to introduce her to the show and our guest, and then I'll be back, say, about 35 minutes into the show. So bear with me and the noise. It's an unusual situation. Okay. The next few weeks, we're going to talk about more into Let's Create a Better World and issues. Dr. Trainer will also, Dr. Wendy Trainer will also talk, give her piece on, at the end of the last 5 minutes maybe, about not only what's wrong with the world, but what we can do about it, solutions. We're going to do a lot of that over the next few weeks and much, much more. All right. First of all, our co-host, Dr. Wren. Are you there, Dr. Wren?
I'm here, Bobby. Thank you so much for having me. And just your circumstances.
Good. I'm leaving a couple minutes. I'm just going to introduce. Good. I'm going to introduce Dr. Wendy, and she's going to start by talking to us about her main issues, and then you can take it from there, and I'll be back. Okay.
You got it.
Hi, Dr. Wendy. Are you there?
I'm here. I'm excited to be here.
Okay. Yeah, a little noise in the background, so that's why I had to leave and find a better spot because I'm in the hospital coming out. I just had surgery, and it's not surgery. It's actually a green light laser for my prostate. And I'll be talking about that later in the show, maybe, and in the future we'll be talking about it some more. But Dr. Wendy, go right ahead and get into your... Tell us just a quick bit about yourself, how you got into this, and then go right into your subjects. Go right ahead.
All right.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Bobby. You're an inspiration to all of us. And I, like Bobby and many of you out there, I've gone through my own medical adventures. I'm a cancer survivor. I was diagnosed with cancer at age 29 after I'd gotten a PhD in social psychology studying human emotion, thought, behavior, and social influence. And I learned how to turn my tragedy into a treasure by applying the scientific principles I learned as a graduate student to my own life when I was faced with cancer. And so these principles are very simple, and I'll be sharing them with you today so you can turn stress, anger, fear, envy, grief, and shame into happiness. Life is too short to suffer, and I'm excited to share these tips with you. So, Dr. Wren, should I continue or would you like to intercede?
Well, absolutely, Wendy. I'm excited to hear all about this. And if you don't mind, maybe I can interject as you're going along with a few questions and things that might come to mind.
Sounds wonderful, wonderful. Well, the first thing I want to share with everyone listening today is that there are really two states of consciousness that I'm aware of. One is the unenlightened mind and the enlightened mind. And I've been both minds, and through the last 10 years of my own dedicated meditation and yoga practice and walking in nature, I've been able to really transcend the unenlightened mind and experience enlightenment on a daily basis, where I can experience the truth of what is and feel the love and joy that I am. And my desire is to impart that same experience for you today by the end of this program. So the unenlightened mind suffers. It suffers because it has a false identity. We call it self-concept or ego. And associated with this identity or story are these associated desires. And there are, just like in a movie, if you study the structure of story, they say, you know, there's a protagonist, which is the hero of the story, an antagonist, who is the person who thwarts our ability to reach our goals, and they are the perceived enemy. And then, just like in a story, we have our own identity in the unenlightened mind. We have these desires to get something we think we don't have, and we perceive obstacles to getting what we want, and we perceive those persons who do not give the self what it wants as our enemies, and we suffer because we think we don't have what we want. And then when we finally get what we want, then we're happy. But this is not a true formula for enduring happiness, because you're not always going to get what you want as long as you identify with the false self. Which,
well,
is,
Dr. Wendy, how do we know what we want? Do you think most people know?
That's a very good question. You know, I didn't know what I wanted until I faced my own mortality through the cancer process. Some of you might be facing other medical issues. And once we really face the process of dying, if you're like me, which you are, your illusions are stripped. And what's left is the truth of what is. And you, it's almost like life collapses from a, you know, a life where we've been projecting everything into the future. It collapses into the present moment. And you realize the present is all that exists. And in that present moment is your happiness, is your love, is yourself. And for the enlightened mind, that is the mind that realizes that we already have what we want, which is love, because we are love. And that's what I realized in my cancer journey, and what you might be realizing if you're, you know, been on a similar journey. You realize, wow, love is all that really matters. And you realize that you already have what you want because you are love, and love is all you want. And you realize that all these obstacles to getting what the little self wanted are really no obstacles at all, because the only one who's holding us back from getting what we want is ourselves. So give yourself the love you need. And that's a big teaching for me, is self-love. I teach people to love themselves, to love their life, and to love what is. And Bobby is an excellent example of someone doing that right now. He's on a radio show just after your surgery. He's still in the hospital, and he's doing what he loves. So that's a beginning.
I hear people all the time that have these stories. I mean, I have my own story. Everybody has their story of how they got to now. And a lot of them are very, you know, severe, like cancer and just crazy upheaval in their lives. And it comes to this, like, huge ultimatum and turning point. But do you have any suggestions on how people could maybe tap into their, I call it their potentiality, you know, their want, their desire, their journey, their path, their potentiality, without it having to come down to something, you know, as incredible as facing death or, you know, just something completely tragic?
Yes, that's such a great question. So the question is, how can we tap into our potentiality or our potential and live that potential for happiness and love without having to face health issues or a health crisis or some other crisis? And really, it can be done. For me, I was just too stubborn, and I think my ego was too big for me to wake up to the truth. But here I am waking you up to the truth, so you don't need to get sick to find the truth. The truth is, you are love, and you can give yourself the love and joy that you want right now. And I'm going to talk about five different emotions where you can just do it. And the reason why you can do it is because research shows that what we think is linked to what we feel. So really, it's our emotions that are creating our experiences, which are a function of the thoughts that we think. So if we can shift our thinking, then we can shift our experience and feel happy. And you might think, well, Wendy, I've tried so hard to change my thoughts, and they just don't change. Well, if that's the case, you're not alone, because that was my experience also. I had to really hijack thoughts, which is through body and breathwork practices, meditation and yoga. Yoga was my bridge to controlling my thoughts. I could not control my thoughts until I started a gentle hatha yoga practice. And I did it with other cancer survivors. It was very slow. You know, it's not strenuous. Anybody can do it. I was doing it on chemotherapy. I can do it. You can too. And it's just gentle hatha yoga that what allowed me to start to get a rein of my thoughts. And once I could get a rein of my thoughts, you know, then I could think happy thoughts and feel gratitude and love, and then I could be happy, and same true of you.
But what about this? What do you think about this? And I'm really excited to hear everything you have to say today, and I have this stage for about putting the cart before the horse a lot of times. How about collective consciousness? You know, how do you decipher between what's your own thoughts and if you have them in check and then can kind of move forward and create your reality versus, say, the environment you're in, but maybe the people that you have to live with? I know I was very challenged as, you know, a teenager and a young adult when I was still living with my parents with the consciousness and the lifestyle that they were in, and, you know, finally being able to determine what are my thoughts, what's their thoughts, and break free from that. So how about the collective consciousness and how that, you know, factors into the reality that we have for ourselves?
Yeah, it's a very, very important question. I have two answers coming up. And the first answer is, yes, there is collective consciousness. There's mass consciousness. And I have not studied, though it's time for me to study Jung and his ideas of the collective unconscious. So I can't speak on that with any authority yet. But in terms of mass consciousness, the ordinary unenlightened consciousness, that you do need to separate, or at least my experience was I needed to separate myself from it through the practice of meditation, and yoga is a form of meditation, and I regard meditation as the desocialization process. So what you're doing when you meditate or do yoga is you are harmonizing yourself with nature. You are clearing your consciousness of mass consciousness. And once the mass consciousness is purged from your pure essence, then you are the truth of yourself, which is one with nature and one with all. So that's the first answer. And the second answer is, you know, based on my theory, I developed a theory that is squarely based on science, and I use the needle and thread of logic to sew together patches of research into an overarching tapestry of understanding that mirrors the tenets of spiritual truth. And what I learned from this paradigm, I call it now the I Can Heal paradigm, but I published about it in 2009 in my book, of course, The General Theory of Social Psychology. But the idea that comes out of here is that we need to become our own social group or own source of self-love. If we find ourselves trapped in a conditionally loving environment, there's like one of three things we can do. One is navigate ourselves into an unconditionally loving environment. And if we can't, then we can become our own source of unconditional love. And again, when we meditate, we are doing that for ourselves. We are, Osho would say, when you're meditating, you're filling yourself up with love. And then you can go out in the world and then share that love. But to feel the love and joy we meditate. And again, we're harmonizing ourselves with the truth of all that is and nature.
I really love that you're putting the emphasis on the meditation. It's funny. Right before we hopped on the radio show, I left a comment as a as a response to a friend's Facebook post, and I said, I am mindful, F-U-L-L, capitalized, to not be monkey-minded. Because I feel like the more thoughts we have, the more clouds it, because the universe always wants to meet our wishes, grant our wishes, and it kind of aligns to fulfill us with what we desire, what we ask for. And also, I always say one of my personal mantras is, I'm not careful with what I wish for. I'm very specific with what I wish for. So keep on going, Dr. Wendy.
Can I add to this? This is so fantastic what you're saying. You're so right, because what happens is not only do we have our conscious wishes, like we may say we want success, or we say we want a relationship, or we say we want money, but then there may be an unconscious or subconscious limiting belief where we really don't want those things because we had some traumatic experience in the past where we had a negative association with the things that we consciously say we want, and so at a subconscious level, we're held back. And again, that's also where meditation comes in, because I have observed in my own experience, when I meditate, that which is unconscious becomes conscious. And even in my meditation today, and I just started doing this 6 months ago, I now consciously say, I recite like a prayer every morning, and in it I consciously say, you know, I am confident, right? And may this confidence in me inspire confidence in others. And as I rise up, may I take everyone with me. Because one of my issues was confidence. And now, as I consciously reprogram myself in this state of deep meditation for confidence, that is my reality, and that is being reflected back to me. People look at me and they say, oh, you're so confident. Well, it's because I meditate, and in the meditation, I am reprogramming or deprogramming the old messages that I had internalized from the mass consciousness.
And, you know, that you were talking about, you know, what do you want to manifest? And you specifically said a few topics, but the one that resonated with me up front, because I just had a conversation with a dear friend about money. And I have this friend who used to work in construction and, you know, kind of had an awakening and gave up the past life and has recently opened what's now a very successful wellness center in New Jersey. And he was saying that to me the other day when I went to visit the wellness center and help co-host the meditation, that, you know, he's really glad that he, you know, gave it all up and started over from scratch, in a sense, because not all of his money was made in the highest integrity. And I have a really special intro to this radio show. I actually have Chris Fern from Simple Business Solutions on the line, and he's created a program called Mindful Money. So he's going to help us co-facilitate this call today in lieu of Bobby. How you doing, Chris?
Hey, Ren. I'm awesome. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for holding space so far. We're just going to let Dr. Wendy continue. So thanks, Dr. Wendy. If you could talk more about how, as far as specifically the energies, you want money, but you need to be more specific. Like if I want money, but I don't know how that feels or the lifestyle I want, if I'm coming from a place of not a wealth consciousness, then I'm not going to manifest money maybe in the way that's within my integrity or, you know, be able to achieve the things I would truly desire with that money as a form of energy.
Wow. Can I have you reframe that question for me in one sentence?
We're talking about, you know, you want specific things. So if someone, say, wants money, okay, well, you know, I can go out on the street and do a couple jobs and get some money, which is not resonating with me. It's not in integrity and alignment with who I'm trying to be. So that way, everything that I manifest with that money that I make from, you know, hustling on the street, isn't going to be in alignment with who I want to become, opposed to, you know, if I am able to be decisive with what I want, be in integrity with that, manifest that money that way, you know, how it's more at ease for me to achieve my goals. Can you elaborate on, like, that a little bit.
Okay. I'm going to ask you one more time to just put it in one sentence as a question, and then I can respond.
Okay. So just be in integrity with where what you wish for comes from.
Right. Okay. So to be in integrity where with what you wish for comes from, I think there are two levels of integrity, but they're I'm going to speak on one, which is congruity within the self. And if there is congruity in the self, then what you want at a conscious level is in parallel with what you want on a subconscious level. And once the two are in alignment, then the sky is the limit with what you can achieve as long as you do the work that's necessary to achieve your goals. And so, again, I've had friends, I've had clients where they said to me, Wendy, I want a relationship. But they kept pushing relationships away. Or, Wendy, I want money, but I kept pushing, this was me, but I kept pushing money away. Three, a friend who wanted success, but she kept pushing success away. And when I looked at each situation, we found that there had been a traumatic experience from their childhood or youth where, in the case of my friend who wanted a relationship, he'd been betrayed by his first girlfriend, and she ended up, you know, having a baby with some other man while they were still together, and she ended up marrying him. And that just hurt him so much that even though consciously he said he wanted a relationship, there was so much pain associated with the idea of relationship from his past experience that he never allowed a relationship to come back into his life because of that pain association. Second example was the woman who said she wanted success. We found that when she was like 21 years old, she just graduated from college, she had landed this amazing job as a woman who could recruit teachers in the education system, and it was well-paying and well-respected, and she told her father about it, and as soon as she told her father, he said, you're not worth a dime, and he basically energetically and emotionally just put her under his heel and dug her into the ground, and she never took the job because her father didn't believe in her. So from that day forward, today she's, you know, almost 70 years old. She has never allowed herself to be successful, and it all came from that subconscious association with, if I'm successful, I'll feel that pain again that I felt when I was 21. So, and again, with me, with money, my issue was, oh, you know, I want to ask for money so I can continue to give my good work, but I was afraid to ask for money. And then when we looked at myself, we came to realize that every time as a kid, when I asked for money from my mom, she would shout at me and I would feel shamed. And so I had a pain association. So what happened in order for us to heal ourselves, and I was able to work with two out of the three, myself and this other person with a success issue, what we were able to do was talk about three instances, three stories of animals who had limiting beliefs, to break the association so we can see the truth of what is. So the first story is the baby elephant. When elephants are babies, they are chained up. And so they come to believe that they're powerless every time they try to break free. So they grow up to be these huge, powerful elephants, but because they remember the pain association of breaking free when they were little, they don't break free and they think they're still powerless. And we are just like the baby elephant. We had some painful, anomalous association event when we were little, but it's not the truth of what is. That was just one random event in a whole universe of potential. Second story, there's these research has shown that when you shock rats, they get shocked every time they do something, and I can't remember what it was they were going to do. Maybe it was to get a pellet or drink some water. But every time the rat tried to do something, it got shocked. Then one day, the researchers stopped shocking the rat, and they discover, they observe, that the rat gives up. No, the rat no longer even tries to do the thing they used to do because they've been shocked so many times, and they've created, again, a pain association with, oh, if I do this thing, I'm going to feel pain. But the truth is, they're free. They could do it, and they wouldn't get shocked anymore. And then there's one third more story, and this is just about fleas. My speaking mentor, Les Brown, he would tell us this story, and I have the essence of it, but not the particulars. But the idea was that there were these fleas that would jump, and they only jumped so high because they didn't know they could actually jump so much higher. And we are like the fleas. We can actually jump so much higher and accomplish so much more. And the only thing that holds us back are these subconscious limiting beliefs, which is why it's so important to break the association by becoming aware of them, which we can do through meditation and through our conversation today. So as a last segment, yeah, very powerful. The last segment.
I love holistic story time, Dr. Wendy.
Oh, my God, I love that you love it. I love it, too. It's powerful. It's healing. It's the best. And so here's the last
Dr. Wendy,
stage
that
of our
was,
healing.
That was incredible. I love those three stories. This is Chris. Ren just introduced me a few minutes ago, and that whole thing about the fear of stepping in and that mouse being conditioned to not ever try again is, I think, really the state of everything in today's society. You know, you've got people that think that they're gonna make it, and you've got people that are taking out loans and living in debt because they think that's the way to be. But really, once they stop and pause and take a look at themselves and their environment and really what they want to create for the world and for their community, it becomes a much bigger message and it becomes a much bigger conversation. And people are settling right now. So I think you said it best. Yeah, I think you said it best when you said, you know, it's about this meditation, and I call it mindfulness. And it's a mindfulness practice to just sit down and treat your money like you would treat your soul. And everything that you spoke to is a perfect parallel to vision and mission and why people go through life the way they do and how the people that are successful create success. For them, it could be monetary or not, but for these folks that have all these financial paradigms, it's the exact same principle. It's just applied. So
yeah.
I really like what you said.
I chilled hearing you speak, Chris. Thank you. Thank you so much. Yes, I just want to add one more important point to give you the full healing here, which is one, okay, just as a recap, we recognize the reason why we're not moving forward is because we have these subconscious limiting beliefs from a traumatic event where there was pain associated with the thing that we say we want. So one is awareness. Two is breaking the association, which we just did, telling these true stories about science and animals, and we are just like the elephant, the fleas, and the rats. We're human, and we, you know, are enlightened, but we are still a force of nature. And the third part, which is new, which you haven't heard yet, which is important, is now we replace the old or the broken association with a positive association, okay? So this is the last part of our healing, is now at the subconscious level, we now create a positive expectation and association with the thing we said we wanted but weren't getting. And so you want to speak to that?
Yeah, I mean, what you're saying just really, really resonates with my vision for what I see people embracing, and that is this paradigm where they can be mindful not only of how they associate with money, like we were just talking about, but also what they want for the future and being able to really manifest that in their lives and really being able to have themselves set up in such a way that all of the stressors that once got in the way no longer get in the way, and it just eliminates any problems. And through whatever process they go through, this mindfulness practice, it can really manifest more in their lives than they ever even thought possible just by taking the time. And it really starts with that decision. So that really resonated with me.
Great. Well, thank you. Thank you, Chris.
Yeah, well, go ahead, Dr. Wendy. Tell us more.
Tell you more. Okay. So with my client, I had her replace her negative association with a positive association. And what we did, which worked for her, was we made a poster, and on the poster we wrote the old, all she said she had a chalkboard in her head, and that these were all the adjectives, all the words that describe herself as she perceived herself because of the limiting beliefs and the trauma. So she wrote down like 10 very destructive, self-destructive words. And these were the words that she said had been on her head since she was 21, and now she was almost 70. So we got those out. She told me where in her body she felt each of the words. I crossed each of the words out. And then I said, okay, now we're going to create a new chalkboard, or we're going to put new words on your chalkboard. And then I said, just give me, you know, give me 7 words. And she gave me like 14 words. And these were all self-glorifying, self-loving words. And I said, okay, where do you feel each of these in your body? And she said once she realized that she could write so many more words about herself, so many more than the 7 I requested, she realized the truth of her beauteous, valuable, worthwhile being. She came to realize the truth of the value that she really is, and she was transformed. And I should just also tell you that as she did that process, I called on the divine to help me help her transform. So I also asked for help, and I believe that was also transformative for her. You can ask the divine for help as well. I can add a story about myself. For me, when I was transforming and healing this aspect of myself with money, I went through the process that we just talked about. Yes?
I wanted to back up for 1 second because did you say that you can ask the divine to help as well?
Yes.
Is that what I heard? Because I wanted to touch upon that. I know, you know, you use the I am statement, and actually I do a specific I am meditation every day. I even had a copyright logo called I am planetary, created planetary, meaning of or from the cosmos, you know, from dust we've been created to dust we return, and I am is the most powerful statement you can make that forms your reality. So before we jump into the next topic, I would really like to focus a little bit more on the I am-ing, if you have anything to say,
yes,
Dr. Wendy.
Yes, please go. Sure, please. I'm getting chills, by the way.
And then also, I can't wait to hear what Chris has to say just from, like, his universe, too. So really awesome. Go ahead, Dr. Wendy.
Oh, go ahead. Oh, I would love to hear more about the I am meditation.
That's my Jersey accent. I said, go ahead. And, you know, I blame all my pronunciational coming.
And there's a dead vibe for a couple seconds.
Yeah. Go ahead, Dr. Wendy.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I can't speak about the I am meditation, but because I haven't had close proximity to it, though I have learned about it. I learned about it through Wayne Dyer, actually. But what I can say is that we are all divine. We are all sparks of the divine. We are all limbs on the tree of existence. And, you know, don't think that the divine is separate from you. You are divine. And yet, at the same time, when we call on those highest aspects of our self or of our being, that can give us a tremendous energy and an infusion of the power that we need to make things happen.
Mm. How about you seeing, I mean, do you apply I am statements in your personal life? And if so, how have you seen that manifest for you positively?
Oh, that's a great question. You know, I have used I am statements. I created a whole series of affirmations for myself so that I could get from where I was to where I am now. I would tell myself, I have enough, I am enough, I've done enough. And it was me affirming that I already have everything I need. I do not need to follow the mass consciousness that tells me happiness is over there. I am happiness. You know, and I don't need to listen to the self-depreciating voices that might be in my social environment that say, you can't, you can't, you can't. They're just like, as Bruce Lipton alluded to when he was talking about our programming from our childhood, it's just like a tape recorder in a room, you know. All this I can't-ness is just like a little tape recorder. So don't listen to it. Ask yourself if there are voices in your world telling you you can or you can't. Ask yourself, is this a valid source of truth? 99% of the time, they're not a valid source of truth. Only valid source of truth are the ones who say you can, I believe in you, right?
Exactly. And, you know, speaking of giving voice to or speaking from the voices of, I'd like Chris to give a comment on, you know, the voice of the divine masculine. Do you use I am statements? How does that work in your life? And maybe for some men out there that, you know, are dabbling in esotericism or, you know, spirituality, how do you think that this could help accelerate their lives?
Yeah, I mean, I think the I am statements are critical and extremely powerful. I just started using them the past couple of days, and I felt a huge shift within myself. And just like Dr. Wendy was talking about how there's these I can't things happening, you know, out there, out around, outside of ourselves, and sometimes even inside of ourselves, really playing to our fears and really playing to, especially for guys that I know at least, there's a lot of fear and shame around listening to that inner voice. You know, we have to be the big tough man. But really listening to that and hearing what's going on inside put me in touch with a lot of the energy I was holding that I didn't even know I was holding. So a short story about that, you know, when I was younger, I'm my upper 20s now, and I was in my young 20s freaking out about my career and everything else. I didn't think that I had enough. That was my thing. I don't have enough. I'm not enough. And I didn't even realize that was being projected. And every day that I got, every week or 2 weeks or whatever, when I got paid, I would sit there with a pile of receipts and figure out, you know, what to do with all the money that I didn't have, and then have the I'm not enough going on. And once I started meditation, once I started making space to listen, I really realized that it's a completely true statement, just like you said, Dr. Wendy, about how if I weren't enough, let's just say that's fact for just a second. If I weren't enough, I wouldn't be here. There is nothing about me not being enough, period. So if I didn't have enough, if I wasn't enough, I wouldn't be here right now. So no matter what my stress or anxiety or that voice says in my head, I'm here and I'm going to be here and I'm going to be there in the future. And so, I mean, that's why we need to listen.
And I love that you said, Chris, that you realize, and speaking about being here, Dr. Wendy, tell us a little bit more about your personal journey then with the cancer and everything, because obviously you're still here and you're here for some great reasons.
Yes, I am here.
And Dr. Wendy, when you finish, I want to get back on. This is Bobby. Go ahead with that question.
All right. So I'll finish, and let me know if you want me to integrate how to change our anger, fear, envy, grief, and shame, or we can do that in our next radio show.
Sure. Let's see how much time we have. Go ahead.
Okay. So my journey was that I had graduated from graduate school. I had applied to over 100 jobs. I did not land one. And I was married at the time, and I felt like, and I was the breadwinner, and I felt like the biggest loser because I could not provide for myself or my, you know, husband. And I wanted to kill myself because I had the false identity that, you know, I am a professor. I should have this job. I must be a loser because I can't get a job as a professor. And I suffered because of it. And so I suffered so much emotionally that I started to suffer physically. And I even asked, or I made a wish, because I didn't believe in the divine at the time. I made a wish, scientist that I am, I made a wish that I would get cancer so I could make an easy exit from the world without hurting anyone. And less than, you know, a month later, I was diagnosed with cancer. I think I was diagnosed days later. So my wish was granted, and in that wish being granted, I was given the wisdom that I share, you know, with the world today. I came to know my true self. I ripped off the false mask, the false identity. I came to realize that we all are love, and all we really want is love, and that we are creators like the Creator, using our thoughts and our, you know, our being to really create the life that we want. So I encourage all of us to use the power of intention that you've been given to create the life you want, and I hope the tools we've given you today will help you do just that.
Okay, let me get back in. Hi, this is Bobby. I'm back, Bobby Elias, your host, and that is Dr. Wendy Trainer. You just heard. She has got a PhD, and she's a happiness coach, but today she's been talking about the opposite of happiness and love, with so many terrible things that people go through and how she could survive through that. But let's, we've only got a few minutes left, so I want to give a minute or two about what happened to me. But first, our guest, Dr. Wendy, could you tell us what happened with your dad? I don't know if you've already said that.
I haven't even told everyone.
But Dr. Wendy, what I like best is when I ask you what you think, because you seem to be in good mood. I said, are you happy because you know he's in a better space? And you said yes. Could you delve into that, please?
Bobby, can you repeat that? I couldn't hear you.
Okay, I'm in a place, I may even get lost, so Dr. Bennett, if I do get lost, take over the show at the end. Thank you, everybody. Okay, good. Okay, I'm in a bad space. I'm still in the hospital. I'd like you to, if you could, please get into the problems that, what you think about the world, solutions for a better world.
You want me to go there now?
Yes, please. For about two minutes, please.
For a better world. So I believe that the biggest problem in our world right now is a lack of love, or really people have just forgotten who they are. And so the greatest solution for the world right now, in my opinion, is self-love and love. I am a teacher of self-love, which means I teach love. And love and self-love are actually the same. But for us to love ourselves is the most empowering thing we can do on this planet, and to share the love that we are with each other. And as I told Bobby before our interview today, I launched a Hugs to the Homeless program, and it's really a state of mind more than a physical initiative. I have not created any structures or put any formal structure out there. It's just the idea that when you see a homeless person, give them a hug. These people have been treated like unhuman people, and they deserve our love just like every living being on the planet. So please hug a homeless friend today.
And I just want to chime in too with one of the most important things I think on this planet is interconnectedness and appreciating what we have when we have it, because Dr. Wendy, as Bobby has said, you know, your personal situation just a few days ago, that you haven't really brought up yet about your father passing. When he was here in the physical form and everything, I think, you know, that interconnectedness and embracing now in the physical before, you know, they transition over, if you want to speak about that a little bit more.
Yeah, definitely. Should I speak now?
Yeah, please.
Just take about a minute.
Okay.
We got to wrap up. A minute, please.
Okay, so I couldn't hear you, Bobby, so I'm just going to speak briefly now.
Go ahead.
Yeah?
You can be brief, because we have some more things we have to finish up with. Go ahead.
Okay, be brief. So my father passed away 2 days ago. Not even 2 days ago. My father passed away, and he's my best friend. He's my hero, and he is now gone from the physical world. And so the amazing thing is that even though he's disappeared physically, I'm not grieving hardly at all. I don't even think I've cried since he departed. And why is that? Well, because there is no death.
I love
that's
that.
That's why.
That's Doreen, if you could take a minute or two and talk about anything you want to talk about, last minute thoughts.
Absolutely. I just want to say how right now at this moment I can relate to both you, Dr. Wendy and Bobby, of course Chris too. But I just lost my grandmother a month and a half ago, and when she was still in twilight and transitioning in and out, I was already receiving messages from her from spirit. Her primary totem animal was a hummingbird, and I was getting them all over the place like crazy. And my whole family, you know, we were all processing in our own way. But for me, personally, I didn't cry. And I really attribute that to kind of being proactive in the dying process. I'm an end-of-life doula, all that. And just having a different disposition on how, you know, we're leaving a legacy on the planet and we're sort of on to the next. It's kind of ironic because Chris had actually suggested to me recently to watch that movie, Cloud Atlas, which kind of could sum up what I'm trying to say in this little bit of time. But what was crazy was she passed away at like 3 a.m, right? And that next day, I had 4 back-to-back interviews in studio that had, you know, all been coordinated way in advance. And I went in that studio, and I did it like a champ. And nobody had a clue of my personal situation. So I just want to commend you, Bobby, for, you know, even though your current circumstance and you're in the hospital right now, that, you know, you're still living your mission. And, you know, we're all here helping the whole space for you. And that, you know, what we're here to do and the legacy that we're leaving on this planet is just greater than us. And it interconnects us to all that is everyone here. And it's impactful. So you guys know you can go to drredrecommends.com to check me out. I host the first holistic lifestyle television show on public access in America. I want to thank Chris for being here today from Simple Business Solutions, the creator of Mindful Money. He's totally the Tony Robbins of his generation when it comes to this subject matter. And Bobby, take it away.
Okay, thank you. The gentleman that was on, we've only got a minute for you. If you could, I didn't get a chance to meet you because I was away from the phone, but you can give your last minute, 1 minute thoughts of anything you want to say about inspiring people or motivating them or anything you want to say. Go right ahead, sir.
Yeah, absolutely, Bobby. Thanks so much, and I really appreciate the opportunity. You know, if there was any one piece of advice that I would give to the people that are listening right now, it's just take time to listen, not just to each other, not just to what's going on, but also to what's going on inside. There was some conversation earlier about feeling into your body. Feel into that. Notice where there's tension. Notice what your mind is saying, because that's going to be the key for you to be able to do whatever you want to do with your life.
Right, beautiful, beautiful. Now, everyone, the music's going to come on in about 5 minutes or so, so we got to really wrap it up. Dr. Wendy, could you give your contact information, how people can reach you?
Everyone, I would love to hear from you. You can come visit me at icanheal.org or icanheal.com. That's icanheal.com. My number, 310-YES-LOVE. And you can also check me out on Twitter, Facebook. The handles are I Can Heal.
Great. Okay. You don't have to leave. If you want to leave now, that's fine. But we're going to, Dr. Ren and I are going to go over a few things about the show and about the future. She's going
to
be a co-host every now and then with us.
Guys,
so,
you know,
thank you.
Around.
Okay, Dr. Ren, don't forget, though, hang in there. Maybe as soon as the show's over, I want to call you. And the two of us together real quickly can do a description of the show. I want our listeners to know that we have descriptions of all of our shows going back at least 8 months of great shows. And I've had better and better shows over the last 3 or 4 months. I've been applauded for that by many, many people. We've had some great ideas, great stories. And everything we do is research, science, and all the newest things going on about health, aging, and also about solutions for the world. In the next few weeks, we're going to have a lot on solutions for the world. But Dr. Ren, could you give us your contact information, please?
Yes, my main website is LorenLaurino.com, LaurenLaurino.com. You can find hyperlinks on that to my YouTube, my Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and we're launching DrRenRecommends.com. Smooches, you guys.
Thank you. Have a good day. We love you. Okay, good. All right, let's wrap this up. I want to, first of all, thank you, Dr. Ben, for jumping in here at the last minute. My other co-host wasn't able to come, and I had to be in the hospital, so I really need you. You might have been the whole show, matter of fact.
But you know, I have one of my contacts on the line, Chris Fern. He's from Simple Business Solutions. He's the creator of the Mindful Money Program. He's awesome.
Good, good. Well, thank you. Thank you for that. Well, I'd like to get a chance to talk to him again in the future. But anyway, I want to just let our listeners know that we're going to be talking about a lot of things, the elections. Then we're going to talk about some more aging. But really, in the last, we're going to talk about struggling and answers and how people can do things, new age. But the next few weeks, starting in 2 weeks maybe, we're going to have some great guests. You heard Dr. Wendy talking about how she feels what the solution is to a better world. We're going to really get into that subject matter, and these have the shows over the next, starting in about 2 weeks. And then we're just always ready for your ideas. I'm going to give you my phone number to call me anytime you want to discuss what you like about the show or what you're not sure of, etc. My name is Bobby Elias, 323-770-1925. Also, to get in the archives, to hear previous shows, and there's some great ones we've had, you go to ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com, or you go to PRN, which stands for Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM, as in Frank and Mary, and do it for Let's Create a Better World, and put in the date of the show. And we're on every Saturday. We're actually doing this recording on Friday, but it's going to come out Saturday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time. That's when we're on. So the music will come on in a minute or two, but I just want to also say that I'm going to thank the people we have, and then if we have another minute or so, we can talk some more, Dr. Wendy. So Dr. Van, don't go away. Okay.
You got it.
I want to thank our producers in New York, Jason, the producer, the director of PRN. I want to thank Gary Noll for having the station. I want to thank Jesse, a great engineer, doing a good job. I want to thank our L.A. co-producer, Stuart Hassel. He's been an enormous amount of work over the last few days getting ready for the show, knowing that I may not be able to do the whole show. And thank you, Stuart. Lydia, she's our associate producer. Thank you, Lydia. And I want to thank our two guests. Well, one guest. Well, two guests. That's when he had a gentleman on. And she's a PhD. She's talked about. She's a happiness and love coach. Thank you, Dr. Wendy. And then, Dr. Wren, thank you for pitching in and being a co-host. You're great. Love you and want to keep you on again. And then also I want to thank you, the listeners. But don't go away. We got another minute or so. Anything else you want to add, Dr. Wren? Well, we got a minute or so.
I'm just totally happy to be here, Bobby. You know, I remember when we met a few years ago at the Tanga Canyon Earth Day when you were helping get the word out about Marianne Williamson's campaign for Congress, and I was doing some interviews there. And, you know, we've come a long way, Bobby. I'm really excited for what we're going to talk about in the future.
Good. And I'm excited because you're very young. What are you, about 34?
In July, I will be spending my 34th birthday in Italy, and I'm working out every day, and I hope I can find some gluten-free pasta and a lactose-free cannoli when I'm there.
Good, that's great. Yeah, you're young, and Dr. Wendy's, I think, her mid to late 30s, 37 or 8, and she's young, too. And
Chris
I've never
is
had,
even younger. Chris is still in his late 20s. Like I said, he's so
that's right.
up and coming. Yeah.
Chris, you just broke the record. Tell him that he broke the record. He's the youngest guy we've ever had on this show, and he, even though he's gone for a short while. Say thank you, Chris.
You're very welcome, Bobby.
You're welcome. Say thank you. I didn't mention your name. Was I just about to thanks to everybody. When the music comes on, the show is over. And Dr. Rand, hang in there. In a few minutes, I want to call you and discuss our description of the show. For our listeners, you can see all the descriptions of all the great shows we've had by going to, as I mentioned before, I'll do it again, ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com or PRN.FM, and then punch in Let's Create a Better World, and then hit the dates of whatever show you want to see. You can go backwards and see any show. You can hear this show. It'll be on the starting at least Monday. Sometimes they put it on Saturday. So music's coming on. I want to thank everybody, and thank you. Thank you, Dr. Wendy, and thank you, Dr. Wren, and the young man that came on. We'll talk to you. We'll be on next week. I'll talk to you in a few minutes, Dr. Wren. Thank you.
Thank you. There comes a time when we heed a certain call, when the world must come together as one.
There are people dying. Oh, when it's time to lend a hand to life, the greatest gift of all. We can go on pretending day by day that someone somewhere will soon make a change. We all are part of God's great big family. And the truth, you know, love is all we need.
We are the world. We are the children. We are the ones who make a brighter day. So let's start giving. There's a choice we're making. We're saving our own lives. It's true, we make a better.
So we all must lend a helping hand.
We are.